Dave Girard is well known as a sportsman, a sports administrator, and a sports medicine specialist. He swam for New Zealand in the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games and gained a medical degree from Otago University, where he's worked for many years. I'm Cliff Taylor, and I caught up with Professor Girard at the recent GPCME in Rotorua. I asked him how his long and varied career was progressing.
Well, you've caught me at the beginning of the next phase of the journey. I've just retired from the University of Otago Medical School. I was bestowed the great honour of Emeritus Professorship from Otago, so I've now entered the ranks of retirement, and thanks to Winston Peters, I'll make the most of my super gold card. But having said that, you know, for me, the legacy of the last 40 years in clinical practice has been my involvement in sports medicine and actively involved in the New Zealand setting with a number of Olympic teams and national teams in other sports. My current affiliations internationally are with the International Swimming Federation as the vice chairman of their sports medicine committee, and I'll be working on that commission in Rio.
Yeah, and Dave, you've actually been to 10 Olympic Games, is that
well,
correct?
Well, Rio will be number 10, so it's been a whirlwind tour. From my own Olympic Games back in Tokyo in 1964, where I swam as a 200-metre butterfly swimmer, from there to the Commonwealth Games, where I managed to nudge out an Australian rival for a gold medal in the 200 meters fly. They were the highlights of my personal sporting career. 1984, I was appointed 20 years later as a team physician to Los Angeles, and then I've had the good fortune to attend each of the subsequent Olympic Games since Los Angeles. So Rio will be my 10th Olympics. I have a deep burning desire with that the stars are aligned and the gods willing for me to be in Tokyo in 2020. It would be a nice way to complete the Olympic loop, having competed in Tokyo in 64, to get back to the next Olympics in Tokyo would be a real buzz. I certainly won't be competing, but it's been, as I said earlier, a whirlwind tour, and now I'm, you know, in a space where I can spend and devote more time to some of my international committee requirements. I'll continue also with World Rugby. I'm on the World Rugby, the former IRB Anti-Doping Commission, and I sit currently as the chair of the World Anti-Doping Therapeutic Use Exemption Committee, which is a bit of a mouthful, but our responsibility is to engender amongst medical practitioners who are caring for athletes their responsibility for prescribing drugs appropriately, and if they are required to use a banned substance, and then they justify its use, so that we set some international guidelines for physicians. And essentially that's what I'm talking about at the conference to the GPs, their specific obligations to prescribing drugs to elite athletes, cognizant of the WADA code and the regulations that govern the use of banned substances. The athlete's health must never ever be jeopardized by compliance with a code of instructions. If an athlete needs a banned substance and it's justified, then there's no argument. But you could understand the loopholes if a well-meaning primary care doctor was prescribing substances which were on the banned list without justifying, and then that athlete who was on an elite testing pool somewhere turns up at an Olympics or a World Championships and returns a positive test. Then there's got to be some questions answered as to why they were using the substance. There have been many examples, the most recent of which is the raging controversy over Maria Sharapova and her use of a prohibited substance for which it would appear there was very little clinical justification. So this is the kind of area that I'm particularly interested in now, and happy to work with colleagues in medical practice to educate them and ensure that our athletes remain drug free.
Yeah. Would many GPs find themselves in those situations? I suppose all athletes have doctors, so.
Well, they do. And it is the responsibility both of the athlete patient and their doctor to be quite clear of any rules or regulations. I mean, it's not inconceivable, and we strike this in New Zealand, that an athlete who is in a registered testing pool and could be subjected to out-of-competition testing by Drug-Free Sport New Zealand or their international federation could turn up at an after-hours emergency clinic where they're not known, where the doctors have no record of that particular patient, and the individual athlete doesn't share with them the fact that they could be subjected to testing, and they're put on a banned substance unwittingly. It is important that the GPs who do have an interest in sports medicine, and that's to be encouraged, of course, familiarise themselves with the requirements. And I think it's no different to you as a GP working with scuba divers or doing medical examinations for airline pilots. You have a checklist of requirements or of things that you must adhere to, and there are certain tests and parts of the physical and clinical examination which must be really followed to the I's have got to be dotted and the T's crosses. The same with elite athletes. We have to honour the obligations that they have to the WADA code. And so I say to well-meaning GPs who want to play in that space, by all means get involved, but make sure you're up to speed with the regulations, and if not, we'll defer that athlete to somebody who is a little bit more informed.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier risks to athletes' health. This game's Rio. I mean, there's always a lot of controversy before games, a lot of worries, but there seem to be so many things piling up with this game in terms of health concerns. What are the? I mean, it's obviously Zika, but you have other concerns as well.
Well, I think it's fair to say, and I must say from the outset that I have no involvement with the New Zealand team. I know they're under excellent care. Dr. Bruce Hamilton is the lead doctor for our team to Rio, and Bruce is a very highly regarded sports physician with a lot of experience. Bruce will have a team of 32 traveling with him. There'll be six doctors, four physios, three massage therapists within the headquarters group, and then most of the subsections of the team will carry their own medical staff. I mean, this is going to be a big team, one of the biggest teams we've ever sent away to the games. I think the number that I last heard was something like 210 athletes, and that's been expanded by the inclusion of a women's soccer team, men's and women's sevens rugby, men's and women's hockey, field hockey. So teams expand the number of athletes. So there's going to be a lot of responsibility, and those teams will have their own, often a physiotherapist who's known them and has travelled extensively during their campaign, and it's right and proper that they come to the Olympics with them. So there'll be a very large medical contingent. I think back to my first games in Tokyo in 64, we had a team of about 49 athletes and one team doctor, a GP Mount Eden Road in Auckland, Dr. Renton Grigger, the first official appointment to an Olympic team, so a medical staff of one. So we've come a long way, but so too has the world of sports medicine and the development of the entourage who look after the athletes. Now in Rio, as you quite correctly point out, there are a number of significant challenges to the health and safety of the athletes, not the least of which will be the Zika virus, and there's been a lot said about that. I know that the New Zealand team has kept itself totally informed as to what the latest status of the mosquito is, the Aedes aegypti. They know, and so will the athletes be well informed as to how they can protect themselves. And of course, pregnant athletes, I mean, it's unlikely that athletes travelling to the Olympics are going to be pregnant, but if anybody is even suspicious of the fact they might be in the early stages of pregnancy, I think clearly that they'll be informed not to travel. And so the classifications will be those who maybe are intending to come home and start a family. There will be precautions, they will be advised of the precautions that they should observe upon their return. But more importantly, it's the preventive attitudes and aspects of the team whilst they're in Rio that I think will be the telling point. And I know speaking to Bruce Hamilton recently, there's been a huge amount of discussion and spread of information amongst the teams as to how to prevent using insect repellent and being cautious and careful and so on and so forth.
And I mean that's Zika, but you also had concerns about some other waterborne.
The whole question of water sanitation, the marathon swim is being, and the triathlon are being held in the sea off Copacabana Beach. Now the coliform count at that site has been horrific at times. The IOC Medical Commission have monitored the purity of the water for some months now, and there have been test events there, and no athletes have succumbed to any significant post-event illness. But nonetheless, if there's a deluge in the days preceding those events, the coliform count is likely to rise to a point where it is conceivable that the event would have to be called off. Such would be the contamination. The underlying problem is that the rain comes off the mountains through the favela. A lot of the detritus and sewage from those poorly established areas, I mean most of the areas are slums, they run straight off into the harbour. And contamination is a problem. So if the events were preempted by a sudden deluge, the authorities would have to look very, very closely at the safety of the athletes. These marathon swimmers swimming 10 kilometres are immersed in this for 2 hours, triathletes probably for about 30 minutes, but that's enough to be, clearly contaminated by the ingestion of water. The rowing and sailing events are held in an inland area, but that too has been the cause of significant concern, contamination and pollution generally, and that's got to be cleaned up and tidied up, and I believe that's well underway. The problem there is athletes being not so much immersed in the water, but water contamination through splashing and spray and so on. But the other areas that hadn't occurred to me in talking to Bruce Hamilton, the extent to which artificial turf for the hockey, rugby and soccer, all water-based artificial turfs that are sprayed regularly, but they use grey water to keep the turf in appropriate shape. Now, thereby hangs another potential for contamination. What do you do with your mouth guard if it comes out? If you get face planted in a taco in sevens, the contamination risks are great across a number of different sports and areas that we hadn't really considered. So the New Zealand team will be under strict instructions to observe, personal hygiene and hand washing and in the field of play, doing things that they would not normally find acceptable in playing on a turf back home in New Zealand. So there's a whole raft of things, I think, cloud the issues in Rio as potential health hazards. But I'm forever the optimist. We become very critical before any Olympic Games. I think back to Athens, I think back to the pollution in Beijing, even back in Los Angeles in 84, where the traffic and the pollution and all sorts of other factors, the heat, the women's marathon, athletes falling over through heat exhaustion and dehydration. We've always had some preemptive issues to consider, and I think Rio's no different, but you quite correctly point out that we're dealing with a number of things which have in the past not been quite so significant, and with Zika and the water and the potential for waterborne viral and bacterial infection, very, very significant in Rio. But I think the authorities are on top of it, and I know from the New Zealand team health perspective they're under very, very good care, and I have no doubt that their performances won't be affected.
Yeah. I mean, there are a number of doctors internationally who have called for the Rio Games to be postponed or moved entirely, but you don't go...
No, not really. I mean, that's a pretty big call, and I know there was a group supposedly representing the WHO, I think a number of statisticians and epidemiologists and other people who really didn't understand the work that was being done in the preventive areas and the testing that's been going on for the last couple of years to ensure that these health hazards are minimised. And I think blandly to come out and say, well, let's call the Olympic Games off is you know, they've been 4 years in the planning. And how do you explain to a New Zealand rowing eight or a potential gold medalist in shot put, try and convince Valerie Adams that they're going to call the Olympic Games off and cancel the event? Athletes put in a huge amount of time. They're mindful of the risks, the hazards. Wherever they travel in the world today, there's a greater awareness of health and safety. It's a big ask and it's a big call to decide at the last minute to pull the plug on something as huge as the Olympic Games. There'll be 11,000 athletes there and as many support staff and media. It's a huge event and a big ask to call it off at this stage.
That was Professor Dave Girard talking to me, Cliff Taylor, for New Zealand Doctor.